Few of us, if any, remember what it was like when we were little. And these little things in our gums started to grow. Mothers, I think, remember this time period very well. For we call it what? The time of teething. In order for teeth to come into place, they have to break through the skin. And oftentimes a child will be biting into things, or especially when it is at night, crying, for it is a painful process. We call it cutting your teeth. As we look at other points in our walk of life, we think of times when we are cutting our teeth through experiences that we face. I chose this title about a month ago as I was planning my preaching because Genesis 15 was the text upon which I cut my teeth, if you will, in when it comes to biblical studying, I mean in an in-depth way. In seminary, we would call this exegesis, which does not mean Jesus is exiting. It means drawing out of the text its meaning. And it can be a long, laborious, painful, hopefully not, process. It is challenging. Back in seminary, the way it was done in that school, you did it in groups of three. And I worked together with two other persons who to this day remain very good friends of mine. One of whom, by the way, Irv Heichman. Yeah, you know him, Izzy. Ah, you know him too. Yes, Nikki. Remember Irv? Yes. It can be a painful process because you are discovering things. And perhaps as you were listening to the text today, you were made aware, perhaps, that this particular scripture is like a patchwork quilt. Perhaps you noticed that it began at night, when you can go out and look at the stars in the sky, right? And then in one verse down the road, it says what? As the sun was setting. Now, wait a minute. Time frame. I haven't quite got this right. Stars in the sky, then sun setting. I thought that was supposed to be the reverse. Oftentimes in the course of study, the Bible, critical study, not being critical of the Bible, but studying it in depth, we learn that this is a very human document. Yes, it is breathed. Has God's very breath running through it, but it is also a very human document. And things are brought together. These are ancient, ancient texts. In the course of our life of faith, we cut our teeth upon them. Of course, it is not always the scripture that brings about this cutting of teeth. Sometimes it is the experiences that we face in life. The dark experiencing, the agonizing over decisions, the struggles we may face in life. When we do not find answers necessarily right there, are listening, which is not just like a walkie-talkie, and yet it is. There is a lot of, I like this image, Ed, but you know, when you take your finger off that walkie-talkie, oftentimes there is a lot of static. Anybody ever remember playing with the walkie-talkie and trying to hear through that? And sometimes, especially if the person on the other side is far away, it's... And that's how we experience God's voice in our life, as we're seeking answers to the questions that we are facing. The things we are going through and wondering why, and how can I derive strength from it, and what's going to happen in the days ahead, over which we just plain don't know the answers. We live in a world that wants answers, foresight, but so often we only have wisdom through our hindsight and looking back. We only see God's hand at work after the fact. Before the fact, we struggle. And I think of Abraham very much in this capacity. I mean, I know the New Testament it lifts up Abraham as the father of what? Faith. He is lifted up as a prime example of faith. And yet, if you were listening to this text, you heard Abram full of doubt. God promised. And that promise was reiterated over and over and over again. A man in his 70s stepping out by faith, cutting his teeth at that age. Can you imagine? Stepping out by faith. Sometimes we think of cutting teeth, of stepping out by faith, as something only the young do. Baloney. Every stage along the way, we are cutting our teeth on such experiences. And Abraham was kind of the first example lifted up in the Bible of that. An old man and an old woman given a promise of what? A child. When they were, and Hebrews makes it kind of hilarious because it says, when they were good as dead, his loins were kind of dried up. But yet there was that promise. But Abram was not one standing around, just walking around saying, okay, yeah, it's going to happen, it's going to happen, it's going to happen. No. He doubted. How's it going to happen? I don't see it happening, God. What's going on? Of course, then he took his finger off the walkie-talkie, if you will. And he heard the promise reiterated. But it didn't happen right away, did it? In fact, it was a two-part promise. There was the promise of children, descendants, and there was promise of a land. Did Abram ever arrive in that land? No. But his promise was answered, his questions. But it was rough. So were the things we face in life as we seek to walk in Christ. And this is an appropriate time to be talking about this, for this is the season of Lent. This is a time, yes, for confession, which is, as we said last week, confession is not just a beating yourself up. It is a trying to release the things that are weighing you down. And repentance is not just a, you know, just turning and running to the, you know, to the altar and just getting down on your knees. It is that, but it is a turning. The word literally means, metanoia in Greek literally means turning around, turning toward God, so that you might be drawn in the directions that God is drawing you toward or propelling you toward. It involves turning and releasing. But Lent is also a time of dealing with, if you will, darkness. In many churches during Lent, they take the color away. Prior to this, you've had nice, beautiful colors adorning the altar, if you will. But these during Lent are taken so that it might more resemble the ashes which many traditions put upon the head. And we become aware of our limitations and how we are but dust. And yet God still promises and calls and directs. Let me complete a bit of my story. This was January, February, March of 1983 when I got together with Irv and Jess, the other person, and we worked our way through this text, Genesis 15. And it was smack dab in the middle of that process that I received a phone call from my mother calling me home. because at that point they thought Dad would not make it another day. And me and my sisters, we flew into what was then National Airport, rented a car, drove down, had what we at the time thought was kind of a last gathering around the bedside. But of course, that wasn't the end. It didn't come till May. But that really amplified this text for me, because I wasn't just studying it. I was living it, seeking to live out God's promise in the middle of a dark time. And I heard the promise behind this. It wasn't the promise of descendants, though at that point in time, Caitlin, Tyler, Mitchell, and Tessa were but a dream, persons who would never get to meet their grandfather. But God spoke through that time, not necessarily in words that I heard, but through the very presence of the Almighty. Our final hymn, which is an appropriate one for this time of year, is Beneath the Cross of Jesus. May you, as you sing this song, be drawn out of your tent and out before those kind of strange elements, those animals chopped in half. And I, for all my study, haven't figured out why he did that. Or that whole bit about the smoking pot and whatever that kind of passed between them. To be honest, most scholars don't have a clue, really, what that was all about. And yet through it all, God was there. So let's leave the tent, stand up together, and stand looking to the stars as we sing.